Today's reading is Luke 24, 1-12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, it was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home, marveling at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together now. God of glory, by the raising of your Son, you've broken once and for all the chains of death and hell. So fill us, your church, now with faith and hope, the confidence that a new day has dawned, that you've opened the way to life in Christ our Saviour. And grant us now that by your Spirit, as we hear your word, we would believe it and crown Jesus most happily as our living Lord. For his sake. Amen. Is your life a comedy or a tragedy? Is your life a comedy or a tragedy? Here's the difference. In a tragedy, things can look good now, but all ends badly. It's riches to rags, the hero dies, and true love is lost. The end. A comedy is just the opposite. Things might look bad now, but all will be well. It's rags to riches, the hero saves the day, true love wins, and we all live happily ever after. Is your life a tragedy or a comedy? Well, as we look at Luke 24 together, those verses we just heard, we see how Jesus takes our tragedy and gives us his comedy. And if you're taking notes, these verses tell us, one, I'm a complete fool. Two, my future is incredibly bright. And three, anyone can get in on this. So firstly then, I'm a complete fool. As we look at this account, it's obvious that the women are a wonderful example to us. They're devoted to Jesus. Even after his death, they get up super early on the Sabbath to go to his grave. They don't go with cheap Aldi flowers. They go taking expensive ointments, even though they know him to be dead. What love for the Lord. What devotion. And yet Luke goes out of his way to tell us that they were absolutely wrong. They're being foolish. Verse 6. Jesus had told them that he would rise from the dead. So if you say you won't be at church tomorrow at 6 a.m, and I get up bright and early at 6 a.m. and come to church, you'd say I was being foolish. I didn't listen to what you said. And as the women arrive at the tomb in verse 2, they find the huge stone rolled away from the entrance, and there's no reaction. No, Jesus said this would happen. Nothing. They look in the tomb in verse 3. They did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Still nothing. The women are lost for words, absolutely stunned. They can't understand what has happened. And then, verse 4, suddenly two bright, shining men arrive. They're angels, according to verse 23. And these angels don't waste their words. They directly say, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" As if it was painfully obvious that the women had got the wrong address. And their embarrassment must have continued as the angels pointed out that Jesus' Easter program wasn't a secret. He told them what would happen. It was going to be betrayal, torture, death, and resurrection. And if the first three had happened, wasn't it obvious that the fourth one would happen too? The women hadn't listened. And before we look down on them, let's admit we've got the same problem today. Jesus does something in our lives. We're utterly confused. We don't have a clue what's going on. And then maybe we read in the Bible or some Christian comes along and reminds us of something from the Bible. And go, oh yeah, slowly but surely, things make sense again. And it's not just the women who are foolish here in Luke 24. Verse 9, they hurry back from the empty tomb as quickly as they can to find the apostles. And we think, the apostles know what to expect. They're going to say something like, yeah, gosh, you really are a bit thick for not seeing this one coming. Except the apostles hadn't listened to Jesus any more carefully than the women. Verse 11. These words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Nah, rubbish. Didn't happen. Yeah. And it's not that the women had somehow done something wrong, that they'd got the message wrong. They're passing on Jesus' words and the angels' words, passing on the same message, and the apostles don't believe them. The apostles don't believe the women and don't believe the angels, because ultimately the apostles don't believe Jesus. And then we think, well, what about Peter? Peter's the hero. Peter's the one who walked on water. Peter's the one who confessed Jesus to be the Saviour. Surely he's going to get it. Verse 12. Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marvelling at what had happened. Well, he's certainly curious, runs over to the tomb. He's certainly amazed by what he sees. He marvels at it. But Luke doesn't say, and Peter believed. We're left with a question mark. We don't have any certainty yet. I'm often encouraged by the apostles' faith, by their boldness in speaking for Jesus and living for Jesus, by their perseverance even when things get tough. But right here in Luke 24, what really encourages me is how foolish they are. And that's hope-giving for us, because if you think you're too weak to be used by Jesus, just look again at the people who are his first witnesses after his resurrection, the women and the apostles. God uses complete fools to glorify his Son, which means he can use us. So what about you this morning? Are you still pretending to be wise and sensible? Clever enough to get through life on your own, doing things your own way? Or can you look at the women and the apostles here and say, yeah, that's me. That's me. We don't usually like admitting our weakness and our foolishness. No one likes looking stupid. No one wants the consequences that come when you say, yeah, I got that wrong. Being looked down on or being left out. But here in the Bible, here in Luke 24, admitting you're a complete fool, it doesn't shut you out at all. It's the first step towards a glorious and wonderful future. And that's our second heading. My future is incredibly bright. If you know the Lord of the Rings films or the book, you'll know the scene near the end of book 3. Frodo is at his end. He can't go any further. He's carried the cursed ring to Mordor, and he has no more strength to keep on going. And then in his moment of despair, the clouds overhead part to reveal the night sky, and in that night sky, one star is shining. And his faithful friend Samwise cries out to him, "Look, Mr. Frodo, look! There's light and beauty up there, which no shadow can touch." When things are tough, it can be hard to imagine a life without pain, a life without doubts, a life without weakness, a life that isn't cracked and broken, a life that looks whole and worth living. Christ's resurrection promises us light and beauty, which no shadow can touch. Because through faith in Christ, his future becomes our future. Think about it. If you believe in Jesus, his future is yours. So you ask, well, what is Jesus' future? What is going to happen to Jesus? Well, he's going to return to this world in glory as the Son of Man, God's triumphant King. And if you believe in Jesus, you will appear with him in that glory. He will judge the world, and we're promised we will sit next to him judging the angels. He will forever receive the Father's love. In him, we will receive that very same love. He will live forever with the Father and the Spirit in a new creation. And the Bible promises us, if we believe in Jesus, we'll have the same address as him, living in the same place. Jesus' future is incredibly bright. It's glory, heaven, and a new creation. And if you believe in Jesus, that's your future too, which no shadow can touch. Now, how can this be? Well, it all starts off with Jesus rising bodily from the grave in real space-time history, so that if you or I had been there, we would have seen the stone move and Jesus walk out. The wonderful reason that the women couldn't find Jesus' body in verse 3 is because verse 6, he is not here, but has risen. Just as he'd promised. He would be betrayed. He would be handed over to the Romans and to the Pharisees. He would be murdered for the sins of others, and he would rise. And all that he had promised has now come true. He's now accomplished it. He is now the living in verse 5. Literally, the living one. Amongst a world covered in grave clothes and sorrow, Jesus Christ stands free and victorious, the living one. If you were to search for the body of Muhammad, or Moses, or Confucius, you could have found them after their death. Their bodies lie somewhere among the dust of the world. Look for the bones of any great world leader. They're there amongst the mud and the worms. Look for Jesus' body. You will never find it until he returns to this earth. His body left that tomb, as sure as the sun rose that first Easter morning. This is the wonderful uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which makes him totally unlike any other hero this world has known. Many have tried to flee death. Many have tried to cheat death. Only Jesus Christ could go into battle against death and win as the victorious Son of Man. And the reason why this is such good news for us is because in verse 7, when it says that he was betrayed and handed over and crucified, he didn't receive all of that for his own sins. He had none. He was God in the flesh, perfect in every way. All of that happened to him for us. As out of infinite love, Jesus took everything that enslaves us and chains us and keeps us away from God. All of our shame and our death, he took and paid for the lot of it. So that through his death and resurrection, you and I are free. Free to leave our sin behind us. Free to receive eternal life. Free to know God. Free to share in Jesus' colossal victory over death. Jesus now lives to give us life. I don't know what you've got planned for the rest of today. Maybe celebrating with friends and family. Maybe going for the traditional German walk in the park. If you believe in Jesus, this is Jesus' plan for your today. Give my people life. And whatever you've got planned for tomorrow, this is Jesus' plan for you. Give my people life. And that is his plan for every day until days roll into eternity. Give my people life. Jesus' future is incredibly bright. And through faith in him, so is yours, for his future is your future. And it's a future you cannot lose, because Christ cannot lose heaven. Each year, we push through December knowing Christmas is coming. And we push then through the cold winter and the rain, knowing that either we'll be able to fly away on holiday at some point, like Martin was able to, or summer will return. Summer will return with life and warmth and sun. And so we push through the rain and the cold. Friends, hold on to your hope. Hold on to Christ, because what is winter to us now is going to turn into glorious eternal summer. I am a complete fool, but my future is incredibly bright. Is that true of you? It can be. And that brings us to our third and final point. Anyone can get in on this. It's so wonderful. You don't have to prove yourself to Jesus to accept him or for him to accept you. There are no conditions to fill. It's not about what you can do, whether you can work your way back into God's books. It's about Jesus coming into our graves and lifting us out. That's the whole point of verse 7. Complete fools need a complete saviour, the Son of Man delivered into the hands of sinful men, crucified, and on the third day rising. In other words, Jesus has done it all. Through his life and death and resurrections, he's done it all, so that all we have to do is simply receive. Simply accept him. This is the wonderful grace of God, a free saviour who pays for every cost there is, and dives into death for us so that he can raise us. And because it's all free, because it's all God's grace, anyone can have Jesus. And this is so wonderfully clear in Luke 24. You don't need to come from the right family or background. The apostles came from all sorts of walks of life originally. Some of them successful businessmen, others fishermen, some of them despised collaborators, working with the Romans as tax collectors. With the women in verse 10. One's the mother of an apostle. Another, Mary Magdalene, had 7 demons living in her before Jesus healed her. Another was the wife of Herod's accounts manager, business manager. And all these different people hear of the risen Lord Jesus. And Luke wants to assure us Jesus is for anyone who will receive him. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. No one is too bad for Jesus. The only real danger is that you and I might think we're too good for Jesus. And wonderfully, Jesus is even for skeptics and doubters. You feel you have a very small faith this morning, despite all the happiness of Easter, you're in good company in Luke 24. You've seen how skeptical and suspicious the women and the apostles are. None of them believed Jesus before his death when he promised what would happen. None of them believed the angels at first. None of the apostles believed the women at first. They thought it was an idle tale. Peter didn't come close to faith until he personally stood in that cold, dark tomb, looking where there should have been a body but was none. It could be that if you're a Christian here today, Easter is a bittersweet time for you. you remember your unbelieving friends and family, maybe ones you've been praying for many years, and they still haven't come to faith. Well, take heart, because in Luke 24, those who are so slow, so doubting, so unwilling to believe that the Lord Jesus was risen, in chapter 1 of Luke's next book, they'll be the ones who believe in Jesus. And in chapter 2, they'll be the ones preaching Jesus. Jesus can turn the most hardcore of doubters into believers. He did it for the women and the apostles. He's done it for us. He can do it for the people we pray for. And maybe you're here today, and if you're honest, you say, I don't yet know Jesus. I don't yet believe in him. Well, I hope this story from Luke 24 has encouraged you. Why not, when you leave after the service, take one of these from by the door on the left and read about Jesus for yourself. Find out if the tomb is empty. And if you have questions, why not ask a Christian friend about what you've read? But here's the slight warning with what might happen. The women who looked into that tomb and the apostles who heard their witness did go from doubting to faith. The same could happen to you. And indeed, that's all we need to share in the risen Lord Jesus' life, to believe in him, and then we receive his glorious resurrection life. His future becomes our future, so that one day we will have our very own Easter resurrection. Through faith in Jesus, he turns our tragedy into his comedy. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the reality of the risen Lord Jesus. Thank you so much for all he's done for us. That we can admit before you that we are complete fools, and yet you still, through faith in Christ, give us such a glorious future. Father, we pray that you would convince us all of this. That we would share in your joy in the risen Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.